Hey, this is Father Voskin, a priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, a podcast about life and love, about spirituality, about looking at the very fabric of our being through the lenses of ancient Armenian Orthodoxy. But we're living today in the 21st century, so we call that ancient faith, brought to us today as Armenodoxy. And we invite you to kick back right now and take a few steps with us. This podcast is being brought to you by the good folks at Epostle.net, apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. Hey, if you're ready, let's take the next step. Oh, is everything all synced up right now? Well, it should be. Happy day after leap day. I mean, the leap day, right, is to put everything back in order, right? Because we've had this extra 6 hours. It takes 365 days and 6 hours to go around the sun. And then so you put together those 4 6-hours and they make up a day. Oh, yeah, I know. It's a little bit off of the 6 hour. And that's why you don't get a leap day on every fourth century. I think that every fourth century you don't get a leap day, even though it is the fourth year. Except, of course, in the year 2000, which some of us had the privilege and pleasure of experiencing, the year 2000. So that was kind of like all synced up. But today should be the syncing day. We are synced with the universe, right? Because now we're back on track. And then, of course, as time goes on, next February, we're going to be off by about a fourth of a day. And then the following February, we'll be off by a half a day. But anyway, today is important. It's kind of weird, isn't it? Like, just last week, towards the end, I just felt like I was out of sync with the universe. This is completely, I am just telling you. Well, as a person who has gone through a really rough day today, I got to really wonder how in sync I am right now. But it was really weird. It was just like a few days ago. And I just felt like everything that was going on all around me, things were just off. And now that I think about it, well, yeah, we were off by almost a day. Now we're all synced up. Okay, we got an extra day, February 29th. And today we start off the month of March. So let's start again. Okay, happy beginning of March. Happy in sync day. How's that? Yeah, we'll call it in sync day. Okay, we are now in sync with the universe. Or at least we think we are. Well, today's show is going to be talking about some of the unique synchronization that I have with the Armenian Church and with life in general. You heard about Davy Jones passing away yesterday. I know. He was just a teenage idol that somehow got lost in the shuffle. Well, I don't want to tell you that I was a big fan, but I do want to tell you that I enjoyed the music. I enjoyed watching the monkeys growing up. That was a fun show, especially the car and playing. I heard an interview this morning. I heard an interview with Mickey Dolenz. He was the drummer, I guess, of the group. Now that I think about it, it's kind of unusual because when you think about Monkees music, and I was listening to some of the different tunes this morning as I was putting together the songs for today's show, it's basically him. I mean, Mickey Dolenz is the one who's the singer of the group. So I was wondering how Davy Jones, he became like the idol, the teenage idol, because he looks so good. Interestingly enough, February 9th, which is traditionally marked off as the day that the Beatles appeared on Ed Sullivan, that was their debut into the United States of America back in 1964. Interestingly enough, Davy Jones happened to have been on the same show. He was appearing on Broadway as Oliver, as a young boy in the Oliver Broadway production. And so he was on that February 9th show, 1964. And ironically, the show The Monkees, Dolenz was saying, was basically the popularity of it was because they were trying to show what it was like to be the Beatle wannabes. The Beatle wannabes who never got a chance, never got a break. And he says that was the the success of the show. That's why people related, because there were so many wannabes, so many bands out there that were trying to vie for a position up on the charts and everything. And this was basically the premise on which the Monkees was built. Here's four guys trying to get along and become the band, you know, so to speak, that the Beatles were. So it was just an interesting interview that I got a chance to listen to. But of course, there's a sadness, of course, when somebody passes away. You want to say, okay, 66, you know, and there was a time where you'd say, that's pretty old age. Right now, as it's coming a little closer, you realize, yeah, that is really the new middle age. And it was sad. It was sad hearing about it. Of course, sad for his family. And, you know, think about it. Who is his family? But all of us, everyone who did enjoy him, enjoyed this talent that God had given him. And you know, I mentioned this specifically this week because we're looking at 3 weeks in the Lenten season when we do focus in on talents, when we do look at what God, the graces that God has given us with the coming of this Sunday of the prodigal son, one who squanders, instead of using his talents for good, he squanders it. So Davy Jones, somebody who used his talent to make a lot of people happy.
I wanna be free, like the bluebirds flying by me, like the waves out on the blue sea. If your love has to tie me, don't try me, say goodbye. I wanna be free, don't say you love me, say you like me, but when I need you beside me, stay close enough to guide me.
One of the Monkee songs that is sung by Davy Jones, who passed away just yesterday, appropriately titled, I Want to Be Free. Well, on today's show, we're going to be talking about a lot of ideas, a lot of concepts, like we always do, right? Right? Today's one of those strange days of getting back into sync with everything, and also a reminder that we are in the middle of Lent. As I said, we're focusing in on the next few weeks where we look at talents, but I don't know, have you had a chance to do the Lenten journey? I think it's so beautiful because just this year, Susie has placed them up as a separate, you know, they're 40 days. And yes, it would be great if you could do them during the 40 days of Lent, the Lenten journey, but they stand alone as a piece of work there, you know, for 40 days. You can start them anytime. But Susie has made a beautiful, beautiful presentation of the Lenten journey. And these are separate podcasts, about 5-10 minutes in length, each of them, that give you basically a direction during the Lenten season. They are all available at epostle.net. Might want to check them out. And we'll definitely put a link on our show notes that will take you right to the Lenten journey, that will take you to all the exciting things that are taking place during Lent, including the 40 recipes. Mrs. Deacon Waterjean had done this a couple years ago, and they are there. So you could download them and have just the excellence of vegan cooking right in your own apartment, house, or dwelling place, wherever it may be. I know, we got some cave dwellers. We've got some cave dwellers, don't we? Anyway, that's all in store for you at our Lenten website at Armodoxy. Well, we are in the middle of Lent, and it's a good time to, you know, like, brush up on life and look at life. And did you get a chance to listen to that interview that was done on Compass just a couple days ago? Linda Zadoyan interviewed Archbishop Vache Hovsepian. Now, you're talking about the top of the Armenian Church, okay? You're talking about the senior most clergyman in the Armenian Church, and he, what an interview. I mean, yeah, I always have a good time when I hear him just telling it like it is. Anyway, if you haven't had a chance, that is Compass number 20. You do want to check that out, and I'm going to be reflecting about that because there's a couple items in there that I don't want those items to just go by without us noticing, without us pausing. pausing and kind of digesting those concepts, because they were very heavy duty items. And I likened his interview to, what's that expression? Familiarity breeds contempt. And it was a familiar voice that was coming out as a cleric of the Armenian Church, but it was hardly contemptuous. It was hardly anything that you would find contempt towards. It was, in fact, refreshing. It was a familiar voice that was refreshing and new. It's interesting. I want to share with you some ideas about that. Hey, listen, we start off every show with a song of the day, today being no different. During the Lenten season, I've been cleaning out. I've been like going through some of my old stuff and getting rid of it. You know, it's a great time to declutter your life. And I did that with music. You know, what we're doing these days is we're taking all of our music and we're putting it on to in different forms, so that we could listen to it on the go. So, you know, we have these incredible MP3 libraries now, and I've got my share of them too, and they're just so convenient to be able to just pull down. But somehow I can't get rid of the originals, you know, especially some of those older formats like the LPs, like the cassettes. I did the cassettes last summer, okay? That was just every night I'd come home and just transfer a few cassettes, sort of like in the background. You kind of got to do them in real time, so it's a great thing to do. You just kind of like put it in and let it go through the night and just transfer over. But LPs, that's a different thing. You know, cassettes I didn't mind. I just dumped them. I just dumped all the cassettes. I've got digital copies. But LPs are too hard, especially the artwork on LPs. I mean, you can't get those on CDs. And just, I mean, think about it. LPs are two-sided. I mean, where'd that extra side go? You know, CD's only one-sided. It's like something's missing there, isn't it? I don't know. Call me crazy, but there is something unique about the LP, and I love it. So I'm having a hard time dumping those, and I'm having even harder with the 78s, because now the 78s are massive. They're just like, they crack, you know, if you... People don't know what I'm talking about. 78s were the predecessors to the 45s, to the LPs, to the 33. 78 referred to 78 revolutions per minute, okay? On a turntable, the record would go around 78 times in 1 minute, and a needle would play this music. And the 33 was an LP, 33 and a three quarters, and a third. That's how many revolutions in 1 minute. 45 revolutions per minute. Anyway, there were different formats that we had, and we would listen to music in these formats. Now, the LPs were on vinyl, but the 78s, I mean, they're on clay or something. I don't know what it is. Having dropped a few of them, they just crack. They shatter. So I'm having a hard time getting rid of those. But I came across some Armenian music that should not have been thrown away. It actually was it was on an older LP. And this is what I mean. I can't throw away these originals. The artwork is just fantastic. But I was able to get a very clean digital copy. And I want to share with you one of the songs. I was just listening to it the other day as I was cleaning out. And just a beautiful song. It's from a different generation. Don't expect your usual Armenian music. In other words, don't expect the guitars and the organs and synthesizers. Now, you're going to hear some authentic Armenian music, if you could make it out. And you're going to hear some great voices too. This is called Rapama. It is a traditional Armenian song, and it comes off of an album called Armenian Festival. Armenian Songs and Dance Ensemble is doing this. I always picture these women that you're going to hear. Just imagine their shoes are a little bit tight, and the men always ready for a battle. Enjoy. Janja Rapama, Ura Mitra Rapama, Jan.
Εκάν κερί κερέκιν, χναμιού τεκέρκιν, εκάν σαν ήξαναμε, ας να κουρού, ας να χπέρ, εκάν μωτή κεράβορ, ζωκάντς και σουρου καβορ. Τζάν, εγιάν, 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 τζάν, εγιάν, εγιάν, εγιάν,
εγιάν,
Hey Jan Rapama, that is an old Armenian song. Like when I say old, I'm talking old, like as old as I am probably. And that is that is being performed by the Armenian Song and Dance Ensemble. Like I said, I'm cleaning up my LPs and I'm finding some great treasures over there. I mean, did you think about Lent, cleaning up your diet and yourself, cleaning up music too? Anyway, you get some fun things like this too. I will look, and I've asked Susie to look on the web. We'll see if there's a digital format of that, and we'll see if we could put that up on our show notes so you could check it out as well. I hope you enjoyed it. Well, speaking of Susie, I just spoke to her a few minutes ago. She is at the LMU campus today, Loyola Marymount University, attending a conference, and it reminded me that there is a conference taking place in a couple weeks. It is put out by the Huffington Ecumenical Symposium Series, and it's called Pan Orthodoxy in North America Towards a Local Church. Now, we said a few minutes ago about, you know, about familiarity and contempt, and you got to think about it a while, don't you? You got to really, really think about, like, what are these topics and what are these conferences all about? Do we really have a pan-Orthodox presence in North America? Should there be one? I remember back in the 1990s, and I don't think it's changed since. But when I was a parish priest up in Cupertino, up there we had a large number of different Orthodox traditions, congregations. We had the Antiochians, and of course the OCA. We had Russian Orthodox, and we had Greek. And we would come together as Orthodox brothers. We had a Serbian community. In fact, we used their church and they used our church in a reciprocal fashion, but not every part of the church was accessible. In fact, there were congregations that thought of the Armenian congregation as basically heretics. Heretics because we did not accept the councils from Chalcedon on. And what happens at Chalcedon, that's at 451, the church fathers decide on some formulas, and it's all a question of how you look at it. Basically, I look at the Orthodox Church being that early church that had those three ecumenical councils of Nicaea, of Constantinople, of Ephesus, and basically the rest of the people decided, no, we want more, and they broke off. Now, others will say that the Armenians stood back and they accepted only the three, but there are seven. And if you want to say that those ecumenical councils continued, certainly the Roman Catholic Church will say, yes, they do continue, and we get to Vatican II back in 1964, as late as 1964. Now, I'm talking about a lot of history. I'm talking about a lot of theology. It is not in the scope of this podcast. It makes for great linguistical debates on what exactly is being taught, adhered to. It makes for, you could say theology. It definitely is theological in nature, but really what is being professed by these churches, it's interesting because many people and many scholars, including many bishops, have said that basically it's just a question of semantics. It's a question of words. Some bishops, I shouldn't say many, excuse me. Okay. Now, I don't want to go that route. I'm talking about the Orthodox presence when a group of Orthodox clergy could come up and basically discount the Armenian church as heretics because they do not accept the decision of council. Council of Chalcedon. And this has happened. It happened in my presence, and I know many, many other Armenian clergymen who could attest to this separation that has taken place. Well, the Huffington Ecumenical Symposium takes place March 16th and 17th. The topic is Pan-Orthodoxy in North America towards a local church. Let me read to you what it says over here. It says, offering much more than ethnic foods and festivals, Orthodoxy is often called America's best kept secret. Do I have your interest already? I can relate to this, can't you?
Yeah.
Orthodox America's story is not simply about fragrant incense, ancient chants, and holy icons. Rather, Orthodoxy in America is a complex mosaic of historical circumstances, struggles for self-identity, and intriguing people. Oh, tell me about it. I could give you those intriguing people. I probably know all those intriguing people in the Orthodox Church. Anyway, it's a beautiful statement, isn't it? That Orthodoxy is more than that ethnic food. How many times do you hear of people, oh, I like the Greek church because their festivals are fantastic. Have you been to a Greek festival? I mean, I know that within the Armenian church community, many times the churches are divided according to the foods that they make. You want some great pilav, you go down to this particular church. The kufta balls, yeah, the kufta balls are made by another group of Armenians. That's those big meated meatballs. Yes, they're big meatballs with meat inside. Oh, yes, carnivore all the way. And to devour the carne, to devour the flesh. Yeah, well, Armenians have it. That's why those canine teeth are so pronounced, right? And that's why we need this 40 days to air out and clean out our cholesterol, too. And you know, there are many ways, many times, that people will refer to the Orthodox Church in these terms. And so I think it's beautiful that they're making this attempt to go beyond it. And certainly, that is what the nature of the next step is, okay? It's, you know, we have an Armenian church. And people claim that the Armenians were the first Christian nation. And if you claim it, you're absolutely right, because that is a fact of history. But it is a fact and a statement about some people in the past, and has very little to do with you, because you don't get passed on that tradition merely by osmosis or by a bloodline. You get passed on that tradition by accepting basically the tenets of what is being taught in that church. So what we do here on the next step, what we do through Orthodoxy, is really to give it a purpose and a meaning, that faith really does have a meaning. And I think it was never more pronounced from the church than it was just a couple days ago when we heard on our Compass, and I'm very proud to be able to claim Compass as part of our apostle ministry, because on that show, number 20 it was, Linda Zadoyan, the host of Compass, interviewed Archbishop Vache Hovsepian. Now, Archbishop Hovsepian happens to be the senior most clergyman. If you open up the calendar, this is a small book, it's called Oratsuits, Calendar of the Holy See of Etchmiadzin. So each of the Holy Sees produces its calendar, and within that calendar, and I'm not talking about just dates on here, this is by calendar, it actually gives the direction for the church. It talks about the liturgical cycles, it talks about the different hymns that are sung on those particular days, the Bible readings, and so on. So at the end of the calendar, there is a list of the brotherhood. Now, at the head of it, of course, is the Catholicos of all Armenians. Also are mentioned the three other ecumenical hierarchical sees, namely that of Antilias and the Catholicos there, the Patriarch of Jerusalem and the Patriarch of Constantinople, or today Istanbul, okay? So those four are the hierarchical sees. Then there is a list of clerics, of clergymen, and you look at it, Archbishop Vache Hovsepian is the senior most, having been ordained in 1951 as a priest, as a celibate priest, and an illustrious career which spans six decades, and he arrives at the Apostle Studio. Actually, we were very fortunate. Last Sunday, he was in church. We are in Glendale. Our church is in Glendale, and he happened to be in church, and I asked if he would like to offer the sermon, and he gave a powerful, dynamic sermon on the expulsion from paradise. It was very, very dynamic. And afterwards, Linda caught up with him and got him into the studio, and it made for a great interview. Now, in that interview, there are a couple points that I want to bring to your attention. One of which, he talked about some very controversial, well, quote-unquote, let's say, controversial ideas. The quotes are there because in the Armenian circle, in Orthodox circles, in the Orthodox community that I'm talking about a few minutes ago, that's consumed and identified by the types of food that it produces, these ideas are just way out there. But that's why it was so beautiful that a senior archbishop of the church is expressing himself about these ideas. Namely, he talked about the cults. And here's I'm just going to share with you a couple of the points that he made. He said, cults don't bother me. He said, these cults that are coming into Armenia, they don't bother me. He says, they're here today, they're gone tomorrow. We've seen so many of them. He says, what bothers me is the Christians, the Roman Catholics, and the Protestant communities that are sending missionaries to Armenia. And he says, those bother me. And it was very interesting. He said it straight out. He says, what are you trying to preach to our people? I mean, our people are already Christian. You want a challenge? Go out there and preach it to non-Christians. I mean, there's a whole Middle East there if you want to really convert people, right? But they find an easy target inside of Armenia and trying to convert. So that was one point that he made, which was just, it's jarring. It kind of slaps you in the face, like, hey, yeah, that's true. I mean, what are people saying? It's just like the Orthodox who regard us as heretics. Well, so too the Protestants and the Roman Catholics who come in and want to Christianize a Christian people. Right? I mean, there's other people. If you really believe in the message of Christ and you're interested in converting people, there's a whole world out there. If that's your goal. Obviously, it's not, right? And he expresses this, that this is one of his biggest concerns. And I'm going to ask you to really listen in on that, because that is an important point. It says what the perception is about our faith, and very similar to what I just read from this Huffington advertisement. It's basically people don't believe that we are Christian, that the Armenian Orthodox Church is not Christian, because we're not really expounding the faith. And this is really bothersome. Last night at our Lenten vigil, a young mother came up to me and expressed to me that she was following the Lenten practices. And she was challenged by Armenian Protestants that, why are you doing this? Like, what's wrong with you? Jesus already sacrificed himself for you. You don't need to sacrifice anything else. Whoa! Did you hear that? I mean, the point about don't do the Lenten fasting or the Lenten discipline, because Jesus has already done it for you. So you could just basically kick back. And they're citing scripture. They're citing scripture to validate what they're saying. Now, this is bothersome in many ways, because first of all, anybody is free to believe what you want. I'm the last person in the world that will say, oh, they should believe it my way, okay? You're free to believe anything you want, any kind of nonsense you want. You want to believe that the Kleenex you blow your nose in is God, that's your business, okay? That is your business. But why don't they have that same respect towards the Armenian Orthodox Church? Toward the Armenian faith, toward the Armenian church? Why don't they display that same reverence and come up and say, hey, you know, this is something I don't understand about your church, that you fast, that you have these days of fast. But it doesn't mean, because I don't understand it, that I will disrespect you. It doesn't mean that I will laugh at you or I will humiliate you. And it's basically because they feel that there is a conversion process that needs to be taken. And this, what the Archbishop expresses in this interview, should alarm us all. Because they're working all around us. They are working all around us. And especially, you may not feel that. I know many of you who have written to me from Armenia have shared with me some of the concerns about the cults, and those are more pronounced, of course, in Armenia. But and I know some of you may not even understand this entire concept, that there is a vying for the soul, almost a fishing for the soul. Okay, they're fishing to see who can get more souls. But the Armenian Church has always had a very special language with the Armenian soul, and it needs to be able to find a means of communicating with that soul. Now we find that through the next step, through Armodoxy, we're communicating the soul by saying that, okay, here is the expression, here is how the Armenian Church relates to everyday life. So along those lines, Linda pushed Archbishop a little bit more, and here he was talking about homosexuality on this in this interview. And this was the second one that just really got to me. He talks about homosexuality, and you hear him go, it's a sin. And I go, oh boy, I know we're going to start getting the emails. And you know what he said? He said, it's a sin that the church rejects them. What? It's a sin that the church rejects the homosexuals. This is what I mean, a familiar voice that was just very novel and refreshing. Can you believe this is the highest ranking Armenian clergyman saying it is a sin? Now, what did he do in that one statement? He transformed it. In a few minutes, I'm going to be talking about that transforming power of Christ. But basically, he took the blame off of the person and took the blame on the church and said that the church has no right to reject. And in his words, he says, God never rejects anybody. Do you believe that? This came out of the interview. He said it. He says, God never rejects anybody. And I thought about it, and I kept thinking about it, and I looked for examples in the New Testament. God does not reject anybody. Christ is always compassionate, always going forward, always with open arms, always helping and always healing. And it gives us the direction of where our church should be. Always with open arms, always ready to accept, and always healing. It was a beautiful interview, and I invite you to check it out. It's Compass number 20. It's the one that just came out a few days ago. I believe the date on it is February 28th, and you could check it out at epostle.net. Do listen to it, and share with us some of your feelings. Write some notes. I would love to hear what you think about it. To me, it was a very bold statement made by a very bold archbishop. I'm proud to call him my spiritual father, and in many ways I look up to him in being an example of where this ministry and my ministry goes. Well, with that harp playing, we have Ani, who is here with today's Spiritual Bubbles. Another bold voice out there, but a sweet voice, right? Here's Ani, today's Spiritual Bubble.
Today's Spiritual Bubble is called Great Love, a story by Michael Peterson. In the winter of 1990, I was asked to appear on a television talk show in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. At the end of our first day of taping, I was on my way back to my plush, high-rise, cable TV, 24-hour room service hotel when I saw something I'd never seen before. Lying on the sidewalk against a building in 4 inches of snow was a man sleeping with only a cardboard blanket to keep him from being completely exposed to the freezing cold. What really broke my heart was when I realized that he wore no shoes or socks. I thought to stop and help him, but was not quite sure what to do. As the traffic light turned green, it seemed life was demanding that I move along, and so I did. Back in the anything I wanted was mine environment of my hotel, I promptly forgot about the man on the street. Several days later, prior to the morning taping, I was having coffee and a Danish in the green room at the station. All of the important people had left the room, and it was just me and the janitor remaining. I had seen him quietly go about his business every day while I was there, and he never said a word except good morning or can I get anything for you, sir? He always had a smile to give everyone. When I asked him how he was feeling today, he told me that he'd been having to ride his bike to work in the snow and that he'd been feeling rather sorry for himself. That is, until he saw a man sleeping down on the corner of Yonge Street in Bloor, with just a piece of cardboard for covering him from the cold, and no shoes. I almost choked on my Danish as I heard him go on to relate how he was so moved with compassion for the man that he went around the corner to a store and bought the man a pair of socks and shoes. As I heard his story, I saw in my mind a poster that used to be in an old friend's bedroom when I was a teenager. It was a picture of a child handing someone a flower, and the caption read, "The smallest deed always exceeds the grandest of intentions." I stood there wishing it was me who had bought the shoes and socks for the man when they called my name to come for the set. And as I got to the studio, they were just concluding an interview with a social worker who specialized in benevolence in Eastern Ontario. The social worker relayed a story about Mother Teresa, who, when asked once how she accomplished such great things in her life, responded, "None of us can do anything great on our own, but we can all do a small thing with great love." When I went home that day, I looked for the man on the street. He was gone, but I knew it wouldn't be long before someone took his place. This has been your spiritual bubble. May it float on the wind with great love to heaven.
It's called Great Love. Thank you, honey. Very beautiful story. Touching, beautiful story. Have you ever noticed that sometimes those people, like he couldn't find that person? I mean, have you ever noticed you can't find those people? Maybe you're not supposed to. I think that's what it is. I don't think they exist. I think they come and they touch you and don't look. Don't look. It might disappoint you too, but usually they're not there. Anyway, thank you, Ani, for sharing that story with us. Here is Susie to share with us how you can get involved.
Before getting back to the next step with Father Vazgen, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this ministry is supported through the heartfelt donations of listeners like you. Thanks for keeping us in your prayers and partnering with this expanding and dynamic outreach. We are now in the fourth year of broadcasting and pleased that this voice of Armadoxy is being heard by a worldwide audience. The next step is entering homes and communities with a solid message proclaiming God's message of love, forgiveness, and compassion. We look forward to your comments and words of encouragement. Address your comments 24/7 to our email address, feedback@epostle.net, or via our website at epostle.net. During these past 4 years, we have consistently produced The Next Step as a gift to our listeners. Please consider partnering in this dynamic ministry by making a contribution. By pressing on the donate button on our website, you can set up automatic donations, either weekly, monthly, or annually. Your donation goes a long way in furthering this ministry. Even more, tell your friends and family by sharing the Next Step link or website with them. We're on iTunes and Blueberry, as well as Facebook and Twitter. We are excited about this ministry and invite you to share in our enthusiasm. This is Susie wishing you all of God's blessings in your life. We now return to the Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Thank you, Susie, for that reminder. And let me add to that, you know, one of the easiest ways to spread the news is just actually hit the forward button, you know, on all of your email when you see or when you hear some of our things. Yes, we do see. We just did a vodcast. And of course, every week we have the In Step with Christ. We're producing all kinds of content, and it is just being made available to the entire world audience on epostle.net. And we haven't put any price tag on it. You know, it's just all up there, and it's for you to consume. Please do share it with people. And in so doing, I know God will bless us even more. He's blessed us with, first and foremost, with some great friendships. I want to do a shout out to a good, I feel like I know him, you know, it's Harry Agopian. He's out in the United Kingdom. And he did share with me two links, which I'm going to share with all of you. It's two links. One of them is the Archbishop Rowan Williams and Professor Richard Dawkins talking on human beings and ultimate Origin. It's a YouTube video. I know you're going to want to check this out. The second one is, let's see, the Archbishop of Canterbury at King's School Canterbury on the topic of freedom. I mean, both of these topics, important ones to us here on The Next Step, I think to all of humanity. And I want to thank Harry. I'm looking forward to his visit. He's going to be visiting out here in California shortly, and we hope we'll get him into the studio and we'll do a nice podcast with him. But in the meantime, I do want to share with you a couple of the links that he's shared with us, and I know they'll go a long way. Love to hear what you think about them. And in so doing, I'm just reminding you that, you know, through this Epostle ministry, we're reaching out to a worldwide audience, and in that world, there are so many people who have so much to share, who have really a yearning and a call, people who are looking for means of growing spiritually, others who have a call to express themselves spiritually. And we're just really pleased and honored. It's a blessing by God that we have this opportunity and the means to be able to put out these podcasts, broadcasts, vodcasts, what we're able to cast out, okay? And that's really a very special calling and a gift from God. We're going to be talking about gifts from God in just a moment now as we look at the Lenten season. I want to bring together all of the concepts that we talked about, maybe not all of them, but most of the concepts we talked about today, and put them together in the context of Lent. You know, I was saying a few minutes ago that Archbishop Vache was able to move, to shift, to transform that blame, and rather than judging the person, evaluating the self. Rather than saying homosexuals are sinners or that homosexuality is a sin, he turned it and he said, it is a sin for the church to reject. And that's really exactly what the Lenten period is all about. It's for us to really look inward, not to look at other people, because you realize all of a sudden that everybody does have faults, as do you. Because as you're looking out at other people, you all of a sudden notice a mirror over there. And if not a mirror, you look at a reflection in a piece of glass in a puddle, and you see yourself and you say, hey, I'm one of them too. And so really, the Christian, especially during the Lent, during the Lenten season, has this opportunity to look within. And it's so beautiful, even as the church, if the church can look in within ourselves. And here's an opportunity that comes around once a year in these, not only in Lent, but in these next 3 weeks. I believe it was Archbishop Schnork Kalustin of blessed memory, the former patriarch of Constantinople, Istanbul. He made the reference or used the metaphor of the golden links, the golden chain, that each Sunday of Lent is intertwined with the Sunday before it and the Sunday after, forming this golden chain with the final link being Easter Sunday. So you prepare, but in such a way that it's one collection of events taking place in the Lenten period, in the Lenten journey. And on that metaphor, imagine now three links in the middle of that chain, which are known by the names of three parables offered to us by Jesus Christ. And interestingly enough, what is special and unique about these three parables and the names of these Sundays is that they refer to, well, some people that you ordinarily wouldn't assume would be in Jesus' company. In other words, you don't imagine them with the halos, far from it. In fact, you imagine them with the horns, okay? This Sunday is called the prodigal son, the wayward son, okay, the prodigal son. Next Sunday is called the dishonest steward, the dishonest steward, okay? And the third one, the third of these characters is the unrighteous judge. And remember a few minutes ago I said Archbishop Vache had transformed it. And if you think about it, how beautiful, because that is in the tradition of the church fathers. Because they name these three Sundays under these names that are offered to us by Christ, these characters that only Christ can transform. Christ is the only one that can transform these people to become heroes for us. You wouldn't take a prodigal son, a wayward son, and say, okay, here's a hero for you. Emulate what he does. You wouldn't take a dishonest steward and say, okay, look at him. He's a dishonest manager. He's been found guilty. I want you to be like him. You're not going to find that in Sunday school, are you? The unrighteous judge. Oh, he's against all of justice. Now imagine what Jesus does. He transforms these three characters. He transforms them so that, yes, they become the heroes of the story and examples for us. He transforms the prodigal son and makes him a son who returns home, giving us the example of repentance, giving us the story of a loving and compassionate father, and teaching us that, like the older son who looks on and says, why not me? That in God's kingdom there are no me's, that it's all of us, caring and loving and having compassion for one another. The dishonest steward Jesus takes this man who has been found guilty of all kinds of despicable stuff. He has been dishonest. And Jesus transforms him and says that, look, in his dishonesty, he's giving you a message that the tools of this world are necessary if you're going to get by in this world. And the unrighteous judge, somebody who's not even scared of God, who's not ashamed of people, it says in the scriptures, this man now becomes an example for us that if he is able to tend justice, he is able to take care of people, how much more our Heavenly Father will take care of us. In other words, Jesus takes people and transforms them into heroes and examples. By the way, each of these stories you can find in the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 15, 16, and 17, with respectively to each of the characters I described. Jesus is the only one who can transform. I want you to think about what happened last week. We talked about Expulsion Sunday. What was that about? About being expelled from paradise. We spoke about it on our podcast and our sermons and so on. You could check out the exact story. But the point I want to make today is how Jesus transforms those words. Remember, it was the serpent who came up to Eve and said, take and eat this fruit. It was Eve who took those words and repeated them to Adam. Said, take and eat this fruit. In other words, they were expelled from paradise because of the action that they took. Those words, take, eat, were the words of condemnation. And what does Jesus do? He takes those same exact words, take and eat. And he makes them into the words of salvation. And only Christ can do that. Take and eat. This is my body. Take and drink the blood of the new covenant. And it is in this way that you are united with God. Jesus Christ is the only one who could transform condemnation into salvation. And he does it all the time. He does it in our lives. It's this time of year that we have this beautiful opportunity during Lent to really look inward, to find the pain, to find the evil that is dwelling within us and realize that there is an opportunity for transformation. There is an opportunity for newness. And it comes in the same way that these characters out of these stories, these parables, these myths, these fables come alive for us in these stories and are transformed in the same way. How much more will God be able to transform us when we are open, when we look within, when we decide that we want to do away with the rubbish that is in there, with the filth that is accumulating there, when we want to put away some of that clutter and clean it out? That's what the Lenten period is all about. It's this opportunity to look within, to clean up and get ready. Because Lent is not about the 40 days. Lent is about the 320 days that are on the other side of it. In other words, being that good Christian all year long. What you prepare for in Lent is not just Easter. It's preparing for life, to be able to tackle the greatest difficulties of life with faith in your heart, an upright spirit, and to be able to take on life by the horns and know that there is a victory. It's the same victory that Christ enjoyed on the resurrection on Easter Sunday, and is a victory that he shares with each and every one of us. It's there for the taking. Enjoy this Lenten season. Make it a rich Lenten season. Get involved. Look within and act without. Well, that brings us to the end of today's show. I hope you enjoyed it. It was a fun one. Huh? We went all around. We started off with all kinds of things and we ended up with, well, victory for all. Hey, listen, I want to invite you to get involved at our websites, inhisshoes.org, as well as epostle.net, where you'll find today's podcast, as well as Compass. You'll find the Lenten journey and all kinds of things that are happening. Got Vahe, who is working on the archives. Those will be coming up very soon, and you're going to be enjoying all kinds of new programming as well. For the team who put today's show together, for Susie, our producer, for Ani with her bubbles, this is Father Voskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
Trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week. And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.